us today.
Amen. Come on. Awesome. So why don't you just stretch out your hands right now. And so, Father God, we're just so thankful for Pastor Sarah and the word that she has. Father, we just pray for our own hearts to be softened, for our ears to be open, Lord. And we just say, let the river flow, Lord, as she preaches the word. We pray for fire from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, T. Thank you, Lord. We just thank the Lord for his presence. Matthew asked me to share a message that I shared at the women's retreat. And so if you went to the women's retreat, you're going to hear a little bit more of the same thing, but that's okay. It might be a little bit different because it's going to be for this congregation. And there at the women's retreat, Becky had shared a lot before I was supposed to come up after her. So she really laid a groundwork. So this time I'm going to have to just let it flow. But one of the things the Lord reminded me of when I was at the women's retreat was there was this lady that came and spoke to our church, and she's a missionary in India, but she's actually from India. And she would always say this thing, and the Lord just reminded me of this. And I think it's just so good because this is how good God is he just takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
He just says the pressure's off. He's the one that does the work in and through us. He is the one that wants to pour out. And she used to say this thing that she was like, you know that song, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. So let me tell you this. Before I got up to preach, when I was at the women's retreat, people would pray for me and just really saturate me in prayer. And while I was getting prayed for, I kept doing this thing like this. You know, I just would feel the weighty presence of the Lord, and I'd think, that's strange. Or what is that? And then he reminded me of that song. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout. Just tip me over and pour me out. And I just felt the Lord just reminding me of that. It's like, really, it's him. He wants to fill us up to overflowing, that he can just, and then we just say to the Lord, Lord, I yield to you. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Just tip me over and pour me out. So when we were singing that song, Lord, fill me up, God, fill me. I was like, yeah, Lord, that's what it is. Lord, fill us up to overflowing over and over and over, right?
Yeah.
So the pressure's off. That's the good news. That's really good news. When we get that really deep down, it's going to make us really happy. You know, it's going to make us a really happy people, a lot more lighthearted, a lot less heavy and burdened when we realize the pressure's off.
That's right.
We climb up on the back of the Lion of Judah, and we get to go shake some bridges. We say that to each other a lot right now. It's that story of I like to think about the Lion of Judah, but it's the story of an elephant with mouse on back. He walks over the bridge. They get to the other side, and the bridge goes, and the mouse says to the elephant, man, didn't we shake that bridge? And that's such a good reminder of the Lord. He wants to partner with us.
Yeah.
He wants to shake some bridges.
Amen.
The good news is that he wants to do that with us, but the pressure's off.
Amen.
It's him who's doing the work.
Right.
It's him that's doing it in and through us. And I love to think about, because I just love this image of the Lion of Judah. You know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Those movies just totally wreck me when I see Lucy rubbing her head in the mane of the lion. And it's like, that's me. Lord, I just want to crawl up on your back and just, let's go shake some bridges. The roar of the lion. Even when in that movie, when he comes up, he roars and the enemy just, you know, it's just like, the pressure's off.
Yeah.
It's him. And I believe what I feel recently is that the Lord wants to give us new thoughts. He wants to give us his thoughts.
Yeah.
And he is asking us if we will lay down what we know and understand about him and allow him to renew our hearts, renew our minds, and give us some new thoughts about who he really is. And one of the things is I realize that, you know, Matthew and I, we've been talking to each other recently because that message on Abide last week, if you didn't get to hear it, go back and listen to it because it just, it wrecked me while I was sitting there listening to Matthew, you know, and we talk all the time about things, but it was like there was an anointing and something the Lord was releasing last Sunday through that message that was just really good about abiding in the Lord. And we realized that what we believe rules us, right? Like what we believe about the Lord, what you believe, who you say the Lord really is very important. Because that is how you will walk out your life. If you believe he's angry at you, if you believe he's standing there just with this disdain, you will walk around being an angry person. You will walk around being a heavy, just weighted person. But if we can just ask the Lord in his mercy and his love, he wants to change our hearts and change our minds about who he really is. Give us fresh revelation, real revelation of who he really is. This is such an awesome time. It's such an awesome time as I believe there's this fresh open door that the Lord is just pouring out, and he's baptizing our hearts and our minds afresh, and he's given us new ways of seeing him for who he really is. And one of those this morning that I want to talk about is Hesed. God's Hesed love. Hesed. I mean, I'm sure Pamela could really give that real in there. That's the Hebrew word for God. It's Hesed. His Hesed is an attribute of God. His love, his attachment love for us. And when I started studying this Hesed love, okay, there's not just one word, because in the English language, we don't have one word that encompasses what his Hesed love really is. So we use lots of different words. So in the Bible, though, it shows up like 250 times. And there's about 75% of the time it's talking about God's Hesed love for us. And then 25% of the time it's talking about the Hesed love that we have for one another. Attachment love. And as I started to study this, it has wrecked the way I read the Bible. Now when I read the Bible and I see his Hesed covenant commitment of love that is it's motivated out of his affection and his love for us, it's one of those things that's like, wow, God, I didn't see this before. But I love to study the attributes of God. It's one of the first things that in YWAM, when I went to Youth with a Mission and I went to DTS when I was about 18 or 19, and I went to Montana for my training, it was the attributes of God was one of the things when we would study each week the attributes of God. It was like wrecking me over and over. But this was one that I didn't really get. I didn't get taught. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's the same thing. They don't have one word for Hesed, but one of the closest ones is mercy. Okay? Mercy. But what I love is Hesed is his attachment. It's also loving kindness, his loving kindness towards us, his mercy, his steadfast love, his enduring commitment, his loyal love. That's another way to say it. Okay. Attachment love, his unfailing love. And I was reading back in my journal. I love to read in my journal because I just see the story of the Lord with me too. And, the Lord, I didn't even see this before I went to the retreat, but I was reading this the other day and I realized that the Lord, we had gone away back in June, just for a couple of days, just to get refreshed, just Matthew and I, while the kids were at camp. It was the first time that all our kids went to church camp, including the youngest. So Matthew and I were looking at each other like, what are we going to do? Well, we're going away for about 2 days by ourselves. But it was so cool because it was so orchestrated by the Father for us. It was like he just led us into his delight over us, and it was so good. But I was reading that one of the things in my journal is I had read Psalm 23, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." I don't know if I gave you guys this one. And I mean, y'all know this, but I want to get the right version. Okay, so "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even that when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." You're with me. That's his attachment love for us. It's like where Matthew was talking about. It's like, you know, you had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it's like with us in Christ, we've been smashed up, smushed up in the middle. This attachment love. He is completely attached. His love. It's just amazing. So he, "For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever."
Yes.
And it's funny because it's like this was in June, and I was writing to the Lord. It's like the unfailing love jumped out of the verse. I mean, I've read this over and over, but it was like the Lord was like, "Sarah, I want you to know my unfailing love. I want you to know that Hesed love." And so I even was praying to the Lord, asking him, "I want to know your unfailing love." And so what's so cool is then he leads you into it, right? And this is the kind of love that demonstrates when they're keeping a promise, a covenant. Okay, there's this. And when a desire to be loyal to their promise motivates them to go above and beyond and be super generous. That's the other thing I've learned, is this Hesed love for us is generous. God is so generous. He's so generous. And then so therefore we get to be generous with our love for others. And it's beyond what people would expect, and it's beyond what people deserve. That's what I love. So beyond what anybody can pay back or what you deserve. That's his Hesed love for us. We are created for attachment. We're created for this attachment. We're created for attachment with the Lord, and then with one another. We are created for that. Intimacy and our connection with God and others is vital. And so one of the things I've been feeling from the Lord is stirred in my heart and hungry and thirsty for more of Jesus. Yeah. And to know him for who he really is. Yeah. Hesed is an attribute of how God describes himself that and as it is revealed to us, it changes everything. Yeah. It changes how I view his love and his covenant promises toward me and my family. So when you realize this Hesed love that God has toward us, that his promises, he comes forth to fulfill his promises, it will just change the way. It does take off the pressure. You realize the pressure's off because he is so, he created the world, he set in plan. He set a way for us to be made holy and right with himself.
Amen.
Before, he planned that ahead of time. He's so committed. He is so committed to his love and his promises coming forth in and through your life and for the generations.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's so good. So in Exodus 34:6, God says, "Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness that is also filled with Hesed."
Yeah.
That's what that is right there. Unfailing love and faithfulness. Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with hesed. That is so good. He's filled with this. You know, when we had a conference in Mooresville that gathered both the churches, and Kathy and Charity Campbell came. And one of the things, she's very prophetic, and she literally was, they know me, but they don't know my family. They don't know Matthew or the kids because they've been to women's retreats, but they never. And my kids were sprinkled throughout the church, and they were coming at different services. Like, they would come for different times when their schedules allowed it. But within the whole weekend, there were these prophetic promises that were spoken over our entire family, which really was like, God, thank you. Like, thank you for bringing in someone who does not know my whole family. I was so blessed by that. But there was something else that got me even more than all those words that had spoken. Is Kathy gave this message, and she was talking about Jacob and how he valued the inheritance. And that really spoke out. She was talking about the verse in Psalm 47:4 said, "He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves." Have you ever read the verses that said, "Jacob have I loved and Esau I have hated," and thought, really? Like, that's kind of harsh. You know, and tried to understand that. And there have been very, very many different things I've heard about that. But what she said caught me in a way that was like the Lord was speaking to my heart. She was talking about how Jacob valued the inheritance and Esau didn't. And he sold his birthright for food. And the Lord was saying, "Sarah, I want you to catch this." I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't exchange the anointing for opportunity. Don't exchange the anointing for opportunity." And I just felt this beckoning from the Lord to really value the inheritance of what God has given us in our lives, because he values it so much. He values the promises that he's given us. He is his love toward us. He richly values our inheritance in him. And I just feel like it's like, Lord, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know your presence and his promises. And Lord, help me by your mercy and by your grace not to exchange that for temporary fixes that will not satisfy in my own strength. Amen. That's what it comes down to, is temporary fixes. A lot of times you get in these situations and you just want to fix it.
Right?
And then it's like, okay, this is not happening. This is not happening. But Lord, I know that you said this. But right now, this is the way things look. And so therefore, you can get in your own strength in those moments. You can get into, I'm just wanting to fix this for a minute. You know, because Esau was hungry, right? He was really hungry, and that soup was looking really good.
Right.
You know? And he exchanged his birthright for food at that moment. And I just felt the Lord just really coming after my heart, like, "Sarah, just be careful. Be careful that you don't exchange the anointing for opportunity in any area. Value my anointing. Value my presence. And lean in to me, knowing that I'm the one that will bring forth all the promises, everything I've said, that you trust me, that you lean into me, that you know that I am who I said I am, and I will do what I've said I'm going to do. Trust me. Trust me. And come away with me. Get to know me for who I really am." And so his hesed, he is in covenant with us, and he's motivated by his love and his affection, fulfilling his promises to us. So what is the inheritance or the promise? Do you ever wonder? Like, okay, so what is the inheritance? What is the promise then? So that I can value it, right? The inheritance is not merely land, but all the promises to Abraham, which includes the gospel of Jesus. So let's read this. I love this in Galatians 3. And I have it in the Passion Translation. Galatians 3, 16 through 18. Remember the royal proclamation God spoke over Abraham and to Abraham's child. God said that his promises were made to pass on to Abraham's child, not children. And who is this child? It's the son of promised, Christ himself. This means that the covenant between God and Abraham was fulfilled in Messiah and cannot be altered. Wow. Yet the written law was not given to Moses until 430 years after God had signed his contract with Abraham. The law then doesn't supersede the promise, since the royal proclamation was given before the law. If that were the case, it would have nullified what God said to Abraham. We receive all the promises because the promised one, not because we keep the law. Yeah. The promise was not to be to all descendants of Abraham. It found its fulfillment in Christ and those who are united with him. So that's the awesome part, is we receive the promises because we are in Christ.
Yes.
We are in Christ. And the fulfillment of his inheritance was through Christ himself. That's so good.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that one of the other sayings that the Lord really said to me was that I used to do for religion, I now do for love. Okay, that maybe I did when I was a child and I was just trying to obey my parents. Those served a purpose, you know. Those rules served a purpose in my life, okay. But now I do it for love.
Yeah.
And so it completely shifts. I remember the moment when I realized, oh, this is not about a list of rules. It's about a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's his hesed love. Is he desires for us to know that attachment that he has with us. This attachment, his unfailing love toward us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is so, so good. His hesed, his attachment, his loyal, loving kindness is fulfilling his promise to us through our union with Christ, not by our keeping the laws. You know, like fasting, reading the Bible, praying, our righteousness. Those are all awesome things, but through love. Through love. Like now, I read my Bible because I love Jesus.
Right.
And because I know that this, in this, he has promises. He has a way of seeing things that I want to get to know. I want to see, I want to hear him. I want to that new, fresh revelation, but it's through his Holy Spirit and out of a love relationship with him. Yes, I may fast things in my life. The Lord may come to me and say, hey, Sarah, come away from that for a moment. But I know that it's for love. It's because he wants to reveal something in me. He wants, it. Even his correction sits differently with me now. His correction, I know, is for love.
Yeah.
It is for love. It's not about this, you need to toe the line. It's not about that. It's about, he wants me to, it's for my joy. I mean, how many times in the Bible, I love that. It says, it's for your joy.
Yeah.
It's for your joy. And what's so awesome is I realize that his joy, he's in the middle of everything with us. Even walking through hard things, his commitment to us is like, it's like, I'm telling you, I've been through some really hard, low places of grief and sorrow and just This doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. And boy, did I experience his hesed love and his commitment to us in the middle of it. Almost like, Lord, you are showing off. You know that the nearness of the Lord, he comes close to the brokenhearted. He really does. He really does. He's in the middle. His attachment love does not waver. And I was telling Ben this the other day. I was saying, you know, that's the awesome thing is that his promise is that he will always be with us. He says, look, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And he will always be with us. And so you may even be walking through things with a friend or with a family member. And your hesed love toward them, your act of commitment is not that you're going to come into the middle of it and fix it for them. That's not even what you're asked to do. It's just coming and saying, hey, I'm here and I'm with you. You know, one of my friends, Angel, she's one of my best friends, and she's the one who lost her husband in 2009. He was murdered. He was one of our best friends. It was one of those moments where you're like, what in the world? But yet, then there was the walking through, right? For years after. And I remember the first year after, because she and her kids were living at the upstairs of my parents' farmhouse, which was like two doors down from us. And she was living there for a year just to recover and just to be able to have a safe place where they felt safe. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've looked at my dad. But he felt kind of safe to her. A safe place. When she knew that Papa was home, she felt safe. But I remember her calling me sometimes, and she'd just be like, Sarah, can you just come up here? And I'd say, yep. She says, I have the chips and salsa out. And we would just sit in her bed and eat chips and salsa. I could not fix the situation for her, but I could love her and walk through it with her. Did I know what to say? No. I didn't, because, and she would even say to me some moments, Sarah, you can't walk this road that I'm walking right now. But I would just say, well, I'm here. I'm here. And I love you. And I just realized that that hesed love that the Lord has for us, and that we then therefore can have for one another, is revolutionary. You know, you do kind of feel this thing of like, when you get in the moments like that where you're thinking, I don't know how anybody gets through these kind of things alone, without the Lord or without the church. Yeah. It's the thing that I've absolutely loved about the church, too, is that attachment, hesed love that we get to have for each other. And that's the thing I want to shift to just in this, is the last part of this message is really what that looks like in family. Okay? And I'm not just talking about your personal family. I'm talking about in church family also. I heard just the other day this message. It was a podcast with Jonathan Helser. And he was saying, you know, at the 18-inch journey that they do, the school they do, he said, one of our sayings is that we've been found by a father, but we've been formed in family. Found by a father and formed in family. And that just caught me. It was like, yeah, that's it. Is that we have been created. We've been created for connection with one another, with heart connection and attachment. And it's so important. We're created for attachment. We're not created to live interdependently. I mean, we're not created to live independently, but interdependently. Yeah. Okay? And when I just, one of the ways I would remember this is when I was young, I would be getting in arguments with my brothers. I had two brothers. I know, can't imagine. Arguments between siblings, right? I'm kidding. But my mom would sing this song, which, where is mom? Never mind. That was a sidetrack. My mama is not here. But she would sing this song, "Be kind to one another." But that's pleasant, right? She wouldn't sing it like that. She would sing it like an opera. She would be like, "Be kind to one another." When we were fighting, "Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." And we would all just be like, "Mom, stop." Like, we would stop fighting. Half of it was just to get her to stop singing, right? Like, she actually can sing. She can sing. She's led worship. She's done lots of these things. She can sing, but she was singing it like that. She knew what she was doing. But the other thing I realized was she was reminding us of our connection with each other. Okay? And it kind of stopped things. It's a scripture verse, okay? Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And even as Christ has forgiven you, okay? And that's the generous part, is forgiving one another, right? That's the generous part of God's hesed. His forgiveness is generous, right? It's not what we deserve, okay? And so when she was singing that, she was reminding us of our connection with one another. And that is so important. It will revolutionize your relationships if you will prioritize your connection with each other above being right or wrong.
Wow.
You will prioritize preserving your connection with each other over being right and wrong.
That's right.
You know, because that's who God is. And that's who He wants us to be. Be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It's just, seems so simple, but it's actually revolutionary, and it's part of who God is. His hesed love for us, and then therefore, out of that hesed love that we receive, we can turn to one another and have hesed love toward one another.
Wow.
Psalm 103, 11 through 12, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His hesed for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." And that's that. So as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy. So in that specific verse, the word for hesed is mercy toward us. So in other words, it's undeserved, right? So as far as He's removed our transgression, He's forgiven us. And that's where I was talking about forgiving people when they've wronged you. This is generous. This is the generous, awesome side of His hesed love for us. And it combines generosity with commitment and affection. His commitment toward us and His affection toward us. How great is His affection toward us? His commitment toward us. Yeah. That's His hesed love for us. And some examples of this. Well, hold on just one second. Micah 6:8. That's another one of these verses that actually was one of the prophecies that Kathy Campbell had over Matthew that really caught us. And we felt like, okay, this verse, there's something real about this that we need to digest. We've heard this, but you know, when the Lord says this is a now scripture for you, I feel like you just need to take a pause and say, okay, Lord, what are you unpacking in this scripture for me for right now? I want to like digest it. I want to like just let your Holy Spirit just unpack it in a new way. Well, that was this verse says, "He has shown you, O human, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy." Okay, but this is to love hesed. This verse is that to love Hesed and to walk humbly with our God, to love his mercy, to love his kindness. We are, this is what he's given us, is to say, do justice, love Hesed, love Hesed, love my mercy, love my kindness, love it. Let it just come in and be a part of you. Love my mercy. Love Hesed, love, desire, love, loyal love, action that demonstrates commitment with affection. That's what it is. It's this affection that comes out of this commitment, love and generosity and loyalty. In marriage, one of these marriage counselors that we heard, it was just really good. They were saying two of the biggest things in marriage that will preserve a marriage, these two things, kindness, which how many of us know that's true? Just be kind. Choose kindness. Kindness and recognizing bids for connection. Recognizing bids for connection. In other words, recognizing when the other person is trying to connect, right? And responding to those. Like, for instance, putting your phones down, you know, and put your phone down. For us, this is in parenting and in marriage, but we've really seen it a lot in marriage, but also in parenting. Putting your phones down when your kids are wanting to talk to you. I mean, you know, you can recognize if you give yourself a moment to think that's important, that I recognize bids for connection. Right? Put your phone down when your kids are trying to talk to you. Recognize when your husband is trying to connect. Right? Like when he's wanting to talk about sports. And I could care less about what's going on the games. I don't want to sit down. Tar Heels. Praise the Lord. Antoine has made me want to watch the games. Our bids for connection are a little bit better. But when I recognize, this is not just him talking about this. He's throwing out a bid for connection to me. And if I'll just respond to it and not just be like, womp, 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 I get it. Can you find somebody else that actually likes to talk about sports? Talk to them? No. Listen. You know, respond to those bids for connection. For me, it's been coffee time. And he knows that. 4 o'clock coffee. We created this when we had little bitty kids. And it was like when he would come in from work, if it was 4:30 or whatever, we would sit down for coffee just to say, hey, how's your day? For just a minute and let the kids play. And then we would go throughout our day. Well, now our kids are bigger. They're not like letting them play at our feet. But I still value that time. Like, you would think it runs my day a little bit, but it's like, if he's not there, I'm texting, you getting coffee? He's like, I'm getting coffee, but I love you. You know, but it's these bids for connections. It's if I want to talk about, you know, clothes or something that I just bought at the store and I want to try it on. And sometimes I'm like, how do you think this looks? And he's like, I'm watching the game. I'm like, no, how's this look? You know, there's bids for connection that you have to figure out with each other. It also happens with your children. For me, it was with Lydia. She said to me, Mom, when you pick me up from school, can you not be on your phone? And I was like, okay. I love that my child feels like she can say that to me. You know, but what it was because she valued that when I would pick her up from school, I would say, hey, how's your day? What's been going on? What's your homework look like? You know, I would talk to her, but there would be times where somebody would need to talk on the phone or there'd be something that I was still trying to wrap up and I was on my phone. And I noticed that she would get fidgety when she was in the car and she'd just kind of be like, you know. And so finally she said to me, hey, Mom, when you pick me up from school, can you not be on your phone? I realized that was an important connection moment for her. And so these are just really good to pay attention to in your relationships, is recognizing bids for connection, not just with who you're married, your kids, your friends. You know, you might have those friends that throw out those moments where they just
need to talk for a minute or whatever, and it might not be what you want to talk about, but if you can see that, if you can just sit and love them in that moment by listening, it really will do a lot for your attachment with them. Having people that you're connected and covenanted with will help your growth and your process of walking in freedom and the promises. We aren't created to walk alone. People can walk out of even addiction so much better when they have connection. I was listening to this guy that he's actually a therapist, and they deal with a lot of people that are in the middle of addictions, like lots of people. And they said the one difference they saw was they would give this group that they're walking through the same things. But the thing that they saw, the ones that came back the next week who had actually had, they had growth and they were walking out of, were the ones who had people in their lives who they were connected with throughout the week, that they could talk through things. They could work, you know what I mean? They could just had connection. And the ones who they didn't were the ones that would come back the next week with still struggling with the same thing. And the one difference was they had connected relationships in their lives.
Wow.
That's pretty big. So it's an awesome thing. It's the way God created us to live, is in attachment with each other. And it does take vulnerability, right? And a lot of times we have to allow the Lord to heal us and allow Him to wash us. That's why that attachment and that hesed love, receiving that from Him first, right? And then turn into those around us and allowing, because the thing is that God can use people around you to love you right into your freedom.
Yeah.
You know, just, and love the edges, you know, just those little edges. I mean, some of us can be prickly. I mean, I can be prickly at times, right? But when we can allow ourselves to be in a family, and be connected with others, it's amazing the growth that we can experience.
Yeah.
That's the being formed in a family, being found by a father, but formed in a family. And it's just really good. The story of Ruth and Naomi, that's a story of Hesed. I love that story where Ruth turned to Naomi, and we even had that, we had that in our wedding. The verse where she says, "Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your people are my people, your God. Do not ever urge me to go or forsake your side as you leave. For may God to me and more, if anything, but death separates you from me."
Yeah.
That is Hesed.
Wow.
You know, she was going to a place where she was an outsider. She was choosing to covenant with Naomi. And if you read the story, it turned out pretty well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
God provided generously for them. But that was that Hesed love. And Naomi at that point could not give her. She couldn't. It was a relationship not based on what Naomi could give her. She had nothing to give her at that moment, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But Ruth was saying, "Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge." And that's the place where it's, we realize we will thrive, wow, interdependently, not independently. And identity is one of the number one things in connecting. These are the questions that a lot of times we are desiring to know in our connection with each other. Okay? We want to know, do I exist? Do I exist to you? Do I matter? Do I have value? Am I significant? And am I enough? That's what we're looking for. You know, there's this study that has, I don't know if those of you that have ever studied psychology or anything, you might have heard of the study where they set the mom in front of the baby, and they have the mom, it's called the still face, where the mom, they tell the mom not to completely keep a still face. Okay, at first, she's interacting, and the daughter is like sitting in a high chair in front of her. She's so excited, and she's interacting with her, and she's responding to everything the little baby girl's doing, and she's good. But then they tell her, okay, now you stop, you know,
She knows she's supposed to stop. So she sits there just like this, the mom. And she looks off. And you realize it doesn't take very long for the little girl to kind of like, she's trying to get her to like, she's at first trying to like get her attention, but the mom's not responding. And then it's like the baby gets distressed, like starts to cry and scream, like kind of like, just respond to me. Wow. And it's showing how we are created, okay, for identity. We're created for that connection. And if we give still faces to each other, it is knocking at our identity. Okay? It's saying, you don't exist, you don't matter. But this is something just like the air we breathe, just like food. We are created to know with one another that you are important, you exist, to get that identity from one another. And I was hearing this person say, you know, sometimes we'll say, well, if you know that God loves you, then that should be enough, right? But if your child comes to you and they're distressed in a fight or an argument that they're having with their brother or sister, and this is really bothering them, that they're having this interaction, this problem with their brother and sister, if you say to them, well, you know God loves you, you know God loves you, and they're like, what? Okay, God loves you, but right now, like, for one, I need to connect with you, and I need you to help me connect and get this worked out with my siblings, right? So God has connection. He wants us to know that we're loved by him, but he also has created us to be able to connect with one another and to receive identity from one another.
Yeah.
An example of this, I didn't realize till I was studying some of this stuff. My grandmother used to say when we would walk in the room as kids, if we didn't say, hey, Happy, that was her name to us, was Happy. Wasn't grandmother, but Happy. If we didn't say, hey, Happy, or acknowledge her in the room, she'd go, I'm not a tree. I'm not a tree. I'm not a tree. And I kept saying, Happy. Oh, hey, Happy. I love you, you know. But I didn't get it till I studied this and realized this was it. She was saying to us, do I exist? Do I matter? Do I have value to you? Am I significant? Am I enough? She was saying that to us by saying, I'm not a tree. Don't ignore me. I'm not a tree. And I just realized, oh, wow, that really is. It's not these huge things that we need, you know, that we need in life. From our husbands or our wives or our family or our friends. Like when I walk in the room, if you're going to go toward the person that says, hey, how you doing? Right? You're going to gravitate toward that person because what they're saying is, oh, I see you. I see you. Right? You're not going to gravitate to the person that's going, if I go over here, you know what I'm saying? I don't see you. I don't see you. Don't see me. No, you know what I mean? It's just that's something that we need. And I realize that with it's really good tool in your marriage with your kids is one of the way we give still faces. I'll say it again, is our phones, computers, still face. Like somebody say, Matthew's talking to me. I'm on his phone. I'm on my phone. My kids, it shows up really good because they will say, Mom, 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 you know? And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What was that you were trying to say to me again? But the still face, they are just, they're about to ready to go out of themselves because I'm giving them a still face. I'm not responding to them. Now, granted, there's grace in this. We're not always going to be able to respond. And sometimes I have to say to them, hey, can you hold that for 1 minute? I've got to finish what I'm doing, but I'll get right back to you. And I want to pay attention. I see that what you're saying, wanting to say to me is important. So can you just hold on 1 second and I'll finish this. But I recognize their need for just not a still face from me. Right? And I mean, that's such a good thing. It's not like rocket science, what we need in this world. That's how we get, you know, identity even,
yeah,
of knowing that we exist, that we matter, is not giving one another still faces,
but choosing to have hesed love for each other and connection and saying, you know, you matter. I care about you. I love you. I might not be able to fix everything that you're coming to me with at the moment, but I'm with you in it. Because I know that sometimes that makes me want to run from conversations, is when I feel the pressure to fix something. And a lot of times when somebody comes and wants to talk to you and they're just really in a real hard place and you want to shut it down, it has probably because in you it's making you uncomfortable that you can't fix this. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm talking about myself. But once you realize the pressure's off, it's not your responsibility to fix things for people. You know, it's taking things to the Lord, but you can love them and let them know that they exist, that they matter, but that the pressure's off. You don't need to take on the responsibility to fix everybody's things. And there are people that will make you feel like it is your responsibility to fix it. And that's when you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, but I can love you. I can be here with you. You know, I might not be able to, because I am one that loves to think about all the good things, right? And I realize that sometimes it makes me uncomfortable if somebody wants to talk about things that are hard. It's more about what's going on in here, though. And I can say, Lord, help me if I am feeling a false responsibility that I have to fix this, and realize that's not my responsibility anyways.
Yeah.
I just get to be here and listen and love. And walk in your love. Did we learn how to love?
Amen.
That really is it. And in all of this is learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And His hesed love for us, His attachment love for us is over and beyond. It's generous. It is an unfailing love. That's chasing us down, right? And so then, therefore, we can ask the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, help. Let us know what to do. Another thing that I have realized is when my kids are sick, taking care of them kindly. I mean, that seems revolutionary wrong. But when you're in the middle of it and they wake you up in the middle of the night and you're tired, I just realized this is huge. This is a moment right now. If I take care of them, they can't give anything back to me. They're really at the mercy of me just being patient and kind with them in this moment. Well, it's the same with other people that are around you, the elderly. This is big with the elderly and the poor. When they don't have anything that they can give you in return, taking care of your loved ones and friends, loving them, and being generous toward them when they don't have anything that they can give you, that's hesed. God's promise is multi-generational. And if we can catch a revelation of God's hesed for us and others, it could change our families, our communities, our cities. Did you learn how to love? Did we learn how to love? Not based on worthiness of any generation. That's what's so cool. Is if you watch God's hesed love, it's not based on a worthiness of one certain generation. His commitment to His promises are far surpassing all of that. But it's through Christ. God has a long commitment to generosity, and love and commitment is a core character trait of God, more generous than people deserve. In all humanity and all its flaws, God continues to be committed to us. That's the good news. And across the generations, He remains faithful to His promises and He keeps fulfilling them. And surprises us in generous ways, often paired with His faithfulness. So I just want to encourage you today that you would just even say to the Lord, Lord, I want to see you for who you really are.
Yeah.
I want to know your hesed attachment love for me, that you will not quit no matter what. You're not giving, you never give up on us.
Yeah.
You never give up on us. And asking the Lord that if we have a view of God that is not who he really is, that the Lord would come and heal those places, set us free from those lies, and release his truth so that we can live free. And the heavy yokes of the religious junk that has been weighted on us could be lifted off. So if you guys would stand, I just want to pray this prayer that I have in my journal. And it was after that Psalm 23. This was, I realized, was the beginning of this. The Lord just saying, Sarah, come away. And I want to reveal my unfailing love to you. And so I want to read this prayer that I actually wrote down for myself. But I want to pray it over you guys, that the unfailing hesed love of the Father would be poured out. And I want to say this too. There is no perfect mother or father on earth. Do we got that?
Yeah.
We're not the perfect one. He is the perfect father.
Yeah.
Okay? And a lot of us, every single one of us, has to be reparented.
Yeah.
Right? We all have to be reparented by the Father. So there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So when I'm talking about parenting, when I'm talking about that we can give to the generations that have come in here that are fatherless, that are motherless, and you think, I don't have anything to give because I maybe did it wrong. Look, we've all had places where we didn't do it right. None of us are perfect parents. Believe me, I will sign up for, I mean, there's all these things that I learned in the process, and I say sorry to my older kids. My younger kids, it's not that I'm doing it perfect now, but I've learned a little bit. Yeah. I've had six kids. By the time you have six ideas, then you have six kids, and you have no ideas. And you're like, Lord, help. By the time you get done. But what I'm saying, I just want to say that. I want to put that out there, because a lot of times when I speak on parenting or family, we get caught up in this place of what we don't have or what we lacked in. But we know the perfect Father. And that's what I'm saying, is that we all need to be reparented. We all need our thoughts, the lies, the things that we believe that are not right, to be washed and renewed. We need our minds to be renewed, because that is the way that we walk into real transformation. Right? And the story's not over.
Yeah.
If the story's not good, it's not over.
That's right.
Okay, so even if you have adult children, the story is not over.
That's right.
If you can release this hesed love on them today,
yes,
as you receive that hesed love. So Lord, this is my prayer for all of us this morning. Let your unfailing love pursue us today.
Yeah.
Let it pursue us. We want to be awakened and aware of your love, that we might be changed by being immersed in you. We want to abide in your love for us, Lord. We want to abide in your love. And Lord, we're asking you to prepare that feast before us, and that we would be drawn to your table, that you go before us, and that we would come and dine with you, Lord, feasting on your goodness and your unfailing love. Lord, we thank you that we will dwell in your house all the days of our lives, Lord. And we're asking you to teach us your ways, the way of unfailing love, the way of your hesed love, your attachment, that we are attached, we are smushed up in you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right in the midst of you, Lord. That's where we are. So teach us, show us your paths. We want to follow you, Lord. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your people will be our people, and your God is our God. Lord, we are saying that this morning afresh. Lord, we're making that heart commitment to you, Lord, that you are so committed to us. You are so attached to us, Lord. And we are saying yes to you this morning. We want to know your unfailing love, Lord. We want to learn what it means to love, to thrive in loving relationships with one another.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sarah. That was so full. How many people are full? Like, how many people are going to feast off of that for the rest of the week? I mean, there was such goodness in that message. It really blessed me, and I know it blessed many others. Thank you for your obedience to speak that word to us today. And so we just want to